All right, well, thank you for that. Anybody else feel like the BOM has been bombarding them with crazy notes about storms? I don't know, I've just been getting these messages, you know, you're going to die, the weather is going to be really hot, you're going to get struck by lightning and then hail, and then Jonathan Thurston's going to come into your house and he's going to look through your old stuff. I don't know, Jonathan Thurston, stick with rugby, right? Welcome to summer in Queensland. Go ahead and turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. If you missed what I was saying, it's because you don't watch TV. Danny Holloway's looking at me like, what on earth are you talking about? It's because you spend too much time running. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to be in verses 15 through 21 tonight, so go ahead and let's stand together. Let's just read that as we prepare ourselves for this evening. Philippians 3, verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything less, where otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Verse 18, for many walk, whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Go ahead and grab a seat, and let's just spend the next minute or two in prayer. Prepare our own hearts as we tonight study God's word and allow God to work on us a bit tonight. Gracious Heavenly Father. Father, this is your word. And Father, I am but a humble servant. Father, there's nothing in me that Father deserves to stand here now. The only thing in me is Christ. The only thing that I desire tonight for my friends to see is Christ. So, Father, use me tonight. Work in and through us tonight. I pray that your Holy Spirit would stir amongst us. In your name, amen. Start there in verse 15. It says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. In other words, this is the way that you should think. So what's he talking about here? Two times in this sentence, Paul invites us to think back to what he's already talked about. All right, so for these readers, that was the last thought in the letter here. And for us, this was the last sermon last week. So what Paul had established then, he wants them to reference now. What he had emphasized would lead them to understand to a greater capacity of what they should be thinking. Now let's cast our minds back to the verses before this, his main point, the point of what he wants these believers to lock into, what we as believers should be locking into is, above all else, exalt God. Above everything else in your life, exalt God. Believer, you are separated, you are consecrated, you are approved by God. You should live differently. In verse 3, we saw the outworking of that. We should be defined by, we should be people that worship God in spirit and that rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. He talked about that last week. Paul goes on to say, the believer, you and I, should be people who are first of all, we're following after, right? We're chasing hard after the will of God in our lives, after the working of God in our lives. We're counting, we're evaluating everything in our lives that is going to impact our fellowship with God. We're willing to to put things away that draw our hearts away, that draw our minds back to our flesh. We're people that are forgetting those things which are behind. We're letting go of the things that want to exalt themselves above God. We're not just putting it away, we're forgetting it. We're getting rid of it altogether. We're reaching forth. We're stretching forth. And we're pressing towards. We're living lives that are sold out for Jesus, lives that glorify God. And now here in verse 15, in the same thought, Paul says, let us therefore, have told you this before, and I'm reminding you again, but that's okay. As many as be perfect, as many as be complete in Christ. Right? Understand this, as a believer, you are complete in Christ. Everything that you need to glorify God and to live a life that's pleasing to God, you have in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Keep thinking this way. This way of thinking should be more than just a concept. It should influence every aspect of our life. The overarching thought that I want you to consider tonight, your thinking shapes your walking. Your thinking shapes your walking. Now, that's not a new idea. I understand. You know what I mean by that. But let's pull it apart here in Scripture. Look at this passage with me again. Paul uses the word mind or thinking four times in these few verses. He uses the word walk three times in the same few verses. Look at it there. Be thus minded. Think like this. If in anything ye be otherwise minded, if you're not thinking like this, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Think this way. Walk the same way. But then you see the opposite of that in verse 18. For many walk. There's a lot of people who walk this way, who mind, again, the mind, earthly things. Your thinking shapes your walk. Three, keep thy... The wisest man in the world once said in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence, because this is the place where it all starts. Romans 12, 1 through 2, you know this verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, your walk. So how do we do that? Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that you'll be the proof of what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your thinking shapes your walking. Worship God in spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Don't have any confidence in the flesh. So what do I do with that knowledge? Paul, what do I do with all of this stuff that you wrote here in the beginning of chapter 3? What do I do with all of that? Well, come back to verse 15 with me, and here we get our first point for tonight. Verses 15 and 16, here's what we need to do. We need to recognize what we've already learned. We need to be sensitive to God's leading, and we need to keep building. If I'm going to grow my walk with God, if I'm going to be a right representative of God, I need to recognize what I've already learned. I need to be sensitive to God's leading, and I need to continue to build on that. Look at verse 15 again. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. If there's anything contrary to how God would have you think, how God would have you act, if I've aligned my heart with God, if I'm being sensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit in my life, we can trust that God, through the Holy Spirit, is going to reveal those things to us that are going to impact our fellowship with Him. Let me be practical with you for just a minute. We've been blessed as a church to have so many young people, just so many people in general over the last year or so get saved. That's been a blessing to us as a church. But as someone newly saved, I don't understand all that God would have me to understand, right? I might want to. I might have a desire to understand what God would want me to do and how God would want me to live. I might have that desire, but I just don't understand it at this early point in my life as a believer. There is need for growth. There's need for maturity. There are things in my life that perhaps were part of my life as an unbeliever. But now as a believer, perhaps there are questions that are starting to come into my mind. Should I do this? Should I still be doing this? Is this something that I as a believer should be still taking part of? Young believer, as you're faithfully walking with God, as you study God's word, as you surround yourself with people that love God, who aren't just going to tell you what you want to hear. Because honestly, that's who we normally surround ourselves with, right? We surround ourselves with people that tell us what we want to hear. But as a believer, I got to surround myself with people that are going to teach me how to walk with God. But as you do that, as you grow and you mature in your walk with God, God exposes the things within you that are going to impact your fellowship with Him. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. But there needs to be consistency in God's word. There needs to be consistency around God's people. There needs to be consistency in church. If you want to grow, be where God's people are. If you want to grow, be where God's word is being taught. So often we see people come in and they get saved and there's that moment of excitement and then there's a couple of weeks where they're riding that high and they're here and they're doing everything that they can do. But then as that peters off a little bit, it becomes, well, maybe I'll just come to one service a week. Maybe I'll just come to one service every now and then. If you want to grow in your walk, invest time in what's valuable. Teenager, if you want to grow in your walk, be where other Christian teenagers are and be where the youth team is. Be with those people. Young adult, if you want to grow in your walk and you want to continue to grow in your walk, be involved in the young adults ministry. Adults, if we're going to grow in our walk with God, be in life groups. Be in church. Be where God's word is being taught. Older generation, if you want to continue to grow, and just as much for a 10-year-old, our older generation, you should be driving to grow in your walk with God. You want to grow in your walk with God? Be where God's people are. Get involved in Jules ministry. I don't know anyone who spends as much time studying God's word as Jewel does. That guy loves God's word. He loves studying God's word. And he loves teaching it. And he says he's going to get you one day. He's not ever going to get me. Andrew's going to take over that ministry one day, and maybe I'll get involved in it then. But for right now, older generation, get involved in those ministries where you can surround yourself with people that love God. Look at verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Look at the words he uses here, walk and mind. Remember what we said in the start, your thinking shapes your walking. Walk. It's not just an aimless walk. It's not a wandering. It's not a hoping I'm heading in the right direction. It's walking, it's doing, it's following the things that you already know to be right, that you already know to be true. Be consistent in those things. Stay within the parameters of what you know to be right according to God's word. Even if you don't know this real deeply, understand and apply what you do know. Mind the same thing. Think about a race for me for a minute. And imagine that there was a young man, a maybe not so young man, a guy that loved running. And let's just for the sake of tonight, let's just imagine he had a wild name like Danny. All right, and this young, not so young Danny that loves running, he signs up for a marathon, and let's just say that it's the London Marathon, right? He goes off to London, he goes to the runner's brief before the race, he reads the guidelines, he listens to his coach, and on that day, he lines up at the start line. The pistol goes off and the race begins, the run begins. And hey, he's already achieved some pretty amazing things, hasn't he? This young, not so young guy, Danny, he's already achieved some amazing stuff. He was good enough just to get to that race, right? You don't just get picked off the street to go and run a marathon, and not the London Marathon, right? There's a process. You have to prove yourself to get to that point. Well, he's proved himself, so that's pretty amazing, right? But now the race has started and Danny sets off, and the first few kilometers he's doing well, he's on pace, he feels good, there's lots of other people around him, and he keeps running and he starts to look around. He says to himself, oh, I haven't been in London before. I wouldn't mind doing a little bit of window shopping. There's some amazing sights in London. I wouldn't mind going and seeing Big Ben and that big Ferris wheel thing that's like what they have in Brisbane. I wouldn't mind having a look at that. And Danny remembers the runner's brief, and they said in the runner's brief, stay to the designated tracks. Runners, you have to stay to the designated track. But Danny thinks to himself, well, it's okay. I'm only going to go slightly off track. It's not hurting anyone else. So Danny runs off the track, and Danny sees some amazing sights around London. And the whole time he's running, right? He's still running. He didn't stop to walk. He's still running. He gets to do some amazing things. He gets to experience some things that he'd only ever seen in the movies and on those nature channels and on those weirdo places that people do for travel shows that Katrina Roundtree's been on for way too long. You know, and Danny sees all of this stuff when he's on his little excursion. Danny's still running, and eventually Danny gets back on the right track. Back with the other runners, a little bit further down the track, the race marshal pulls Danny aside. The race marshal says to Danny, I'm sorry, but because you went off track, because you didn't follow the guidelines, I'm going to have to disqualify you. Danny's heart sinks, and he explains that, hey, I was just having a look. I kept running the whole time. Marshall says, come back next year, stick to the brief, run the right race. Look at verse 16, nevertheless, whereunto we've already attained. We already know. We already have the guidelines. We already know how we're meant to live as believers. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. God provided us with guidelines, with instructions for what our walk as believers should be like. He provided us with the Holy Spirit to help us in our walk. But sometimes we choose to ignore those guidelines, those rules. And sometimes we forget the runner's guide. Sometimes we don't listen to our coach. And because we're not minding the same thing, we give room to our flesh. And while we might still be walking, we're not walking by the same rule. We're not walking in the place that God desired for us to walk. We end up being disqualified for a season. Now again, don't get me wrong, you can't lose your salvation. But sometimes God sits you on the bench, and for a season, your effectiveness for Christ might be hampered. How many of you have ever worked with little kids? They say don't work with kids or dogs. I've got kids and a dog. Perhaps you work with kids in sport. I coached the basketball team a bit last year, and I'm starting to do the soccer this year. Sometimes kids get distracted, don't they? Sometimes they might have a bad day. They might go a little bit off the rails, whatever it is, right? And you got them there on the team, but they're just not playing as part of the team. And sometimes you've got to take that kid out of the game and sit him on the bench. And while the rest of the team continues to play, you've got to sit him down, and you've got to sit down and have a chat with him. He's not being effective in the game, is he? He's been disqualified for a little bit. He'll get back in the game, but he's been disqualified for a little bit. 1 Corinthians 9:26 says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. We're not running randomly. We don't get to just pick and choose how we run. And we're not in a fight just flailing around. Right? There's guidelines, there's principles, there's rules, there's steps. There's a life that God designed for us to live. And it's all provided for us right here. Verse 27, but I keep my body under subjection, and I bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others I myself should be a castaway. My life should point to Jesus. And when it points to me, what do other people see? For a season, I'm not being effective for Christ. I think you get the point. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. God provided us with His Word and with the Holy Spirit. If we're going to be effective for Christ, if we're going to glorify God, we have to recognize what we've learned. We have to be sensitive to God's leading. And we need to keep building on those foundations. We need to run within the rules. Have a look at verse 17 through 19, and we'll find our second point here. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. We walk and we think according to God's word and God's will. But now, second point, recognize godly examples and follow them. Recognize godly examples and follow them. Right? Look at it. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Again, there's that word walk. We're supposed to be looking for things to follow after. What do we follow after as believers? A worthy walk. We're supposed to be looking, we're supposed to be following those that as He said in verse 15 and 16, that walk by the same rule and mind the same thing. We need godly people in our lives that help us as we walk. You've probably noticed that Xander has started walking. Yeah, anybody notice that? Anybody tried to ignore that, right? Xander has started walking, right? And now, as much as I love Luke, well, Luke isn't walking, right? Xander isn't going to go to Luke and ask him for advice on how to walk. Why? Because Luke's never walked a step in his life. Luke might have observed, he might have some great thoughts, and I'm sure he does, right? You look at those blue eyes and you go, man, he's got some great thoughts in there, right? I'm sure he's got some great thoughts on walking, but he hasn't ever walked. Xander needs to go to people who are stronger walkers than him. Now, there's no one who has nailed it in their walk with Christ, right? And even Paul said earlier, not as though I'd already attained. Hey, I haven't got it all figured out either. But there are people here in our church who are walking by the same rule and who mind the same thing. And that's Paul's point. Look for those people. Spend time with those people. But like last week, he also provides us with a warning in verse 18. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. They are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. What does he mean, enemies of the cross? We automatically go to extremists, right? We automatically go to evolutionists. We automatically go to the, you know, the right-wing politics or the left-wing or whichever wing it is that you don't like, right? They're the extremists. But what's he talking about here? He's talking about anyone that would lead your heart away from where Christ is. Anyone that would lead your heart back to your flesh. I hate to say it, but there was a period of time in my life where I was an enemy of the cross as a believer. A time when I should have been pointing people to Christ, but was so consumed with my own wants and my own desires and my own what I thought were needs. So consumed with doing with what made me happy that I wasn't pointing people to the cross. Wasn't pointing people to Jesus. Look at what he says there, whose glory is in their shame. Yeah, there were medals. Yeah, there was glory. But now it's to my shame. Now when I look at those things, those awards, those medals, I'm reminded of how far away my heart was from God. Of how much I minded earthly things. Of how much or how many chances to lead people to Christ that I threw away because my focus was off. Because I was more concerned about me. That glory is to my shame. Paul says, be careful who you follow after. Their chests may be adorned with medals. Their trophy cabinets may be full to the brink. But don't measure them by that. Measure them by their walk. Measure them by how much time they spend in God's Word and how passionate they are about their relationship with God. Measure them by that. Follow the one whose life points to Jesus. Follow the one who is passionate about God's word. Follow the one who takes steps and then stumbles, but gets up and leans on the strength of God to keep going. Follow the one who walks by the same rule and minds the same thing. Your thinking shapes your walking. And who you're walking with will shape your thinking. Look with me at verse 20 and 21 there. This will be our last point tonight. Verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Here's the last point, verse 20 and 21. Recognize where your future is. And look to that. recognize where your future is and look to that. In verse 27, we saw the same word conversation used. He said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The way that you live should point to Jesus, right? We studied this. The way that you live should point to the work of God in your life. Let the way that you live point others to the cross. Well, that was the verb form of that word. And here in verse 20, we see the same word used in the noun form. For your conversation is in heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven. Verse 17, Paul has already said, follow me, follow people that are walking in a manner that the one worships God in the Spirit, the two are rejoicing in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, people that are aware of how they're leading you, follow those people. Why? We follow them because they live like citizens of heaven. For our conversation is in heaven. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example, for our conversation is in heaven. Now you might say, well, that's a bit arrogant of Paul. No, Paul just realizes where his future is, where his focal point is. And he's encouraging these believers in this letter to do the same thing. Recognize where your future is. If you want to have an impact for Christ, have heaven in mind. Come back to the example of the young, not so young Danny, the runner in London. He lost sight of the goal. Not physically, because when he was on the starting line, he couldn't even see the goal. But mentally, he lost sight of the goal. And because he lost sight of the goal, he got off track. When we as believers lose sight of who we are in Christ, when we lose sight of what God designed us to be, how God intended for us to live and walk and think, we get off track. Live with heaven in mind. Think like a citizen of heaven. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My focus is on Jesus. He's setting the pace in this race. And all I have to do is follow after him. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body that we may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Hey, right now I look a lot like the world. I look a lot like those around me. I still struggle with sin. But as I'm faithful, as I walk by the same rule, and as I mind the same things, I know that God is changing me. I know that God is working on me, and one glorious day, he's going to take me home to be with him. And all this will be gone. And he'll change me into something, into someone that's entirely glorifying to him. Look quickly at the contrasts here between verses 18 and 19 and verse 20 and 21. In 18 and 19, we see one who is an enemy of the cross. 20 and 21, we see a citizen of heaven. In 18 and 19, we see one whose end is destruction. The other has a glorified body. In 18 and 19, one who minds earthly things, the other is one who looks to Jesus. Listen, you might say to yourself tonight, hey, I'm just a kid, I've got time. I only just got out of high school, I'm exploring and learning what life's all about, I've got time. I'm working hard to build a future. I'll focus on God once I've got things established. I've got kids and a family. I don't have time. I'm too busy investing in them. Perhaps you're on the other side of that hill. I've just spent my whole life working, my whole life looking after kids, my whole life working for this season in my life. And now that I'm here, I want to enjoy it. It's time for me to relax and do what I want. Don't waste your life. Listen to me, you don't have time to waste. You're living on borrowed time, time that God is granting you. Right now is the time. Right now is the point in your life where you need to be serious about where your walk with God. Whether you're 10 years old or whether you're 100 years old, right now is the time where you need to be serious about your walk with God. You need to be sold out for Jesus. You need to be passionate about His Word. Not tomorrow. Right now. So how do we apply this? How do we add this to our lives? We said in the first one, recognize what you've learned and be sensitive to God's leading. Keep building. How do we put that into application? Take some time to reflect. Take time to look back over your life, and no matter whether it's 10 years or 100 years, recognize what you've learned through your relationship with God. Write it down. My grandfather passed away a number of years ago now, but my dad was going through his library and there was a number of books there and they were just going to throw them away. And he said, hey, go and have a look through his library and just, if there's any books there, grab them. Anything that you want, grab them. And there was a bunch of books that I grabbed, and one of them was a small Bible. And in that Bible was a folded up piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, there were just some lessons that my grandfather learned, some things about how to apply God's word to his life that he'd learned. And I took that piece of paper and I put it in my Bible that I do my devotions with. Write down the lessons that God has taught you, because you never know who in the next generation or the generation after that in your family is going to pick that up and one day and be encouraged by it. Write in your Bible. Right? Pastor talked about this a little while ago, about how he has Bibles that he's going to hand on to his kids that he writes in. I write in my Bibles. I write notes that I've studied, and I write these things because one day I want my kids to pick this up and go, hey, I can see my dad's heart. I can see that my dad loved Jesus. I can see how my dad learned to walk. I can see where my dad's mind was. Yeah, write those things down. If you're a believer in this room, God's already taken you through a journey. Rejoice in what He's done. But look forward to what He'll do next. Take the time to examine yourself. Write those things down that He's already taught you, but take the time to examine where you're at now. Look for areas that need improvement. And then the hard part is pray that God will expose those areas to you so that you have to work on them. You know, I talked last week about how I felt God was working on patience with me, right? You know, Ford still got my car. Yeah. You know, when you pray for patience, God doesn't just give you patience. God puts you in situations where you have to learn patience, right? Look at your own life. Look for the areas that you need to grow in and then pray that God would help you grow in those areas. Keep building, keep walking, keep trusting. The second thing we point that we had tonight, recognize godly examples and then follow them. Right, do me a favor right now. Grab out a piece of paper and I want you to write down one person. Nobody's doing it. I'm going to sit here until you go grab out paper, right? Okay, just do it in your mind. All right, I can see you visually. You're all on the phone doing it, right? Don't pull your phone out. But do this for your night. Write down one person in your life that is a godly example to you right now. Who's a godly example to you right now? One person that you think could help you grow in your walk with God. And then here's the hard part. If they're not already in your life investing in you, go and talk to them. Go and ask them to hold you accountable. Go and ask them to invest in you. Go and ask them to disciple you, to mentor you. Give them permission to speak into your life. Right? Often we want somebody to mentor us, to disciple us, to speak into our lives. We wish somebody would do that, but not often do we give somebody permission to do that. Right? Because that makes me vulnerable. I don't like being vulnerable. But give someone permission to speak into your life. If you already have someone, don't take that for granted. Be grateful for that, right? And here's the second person I want you to write down. Who are you discipling? Who are you discipling? Whose life are you speaking into? And I, perhaps we don't realize, but we all speak into people's lives. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. You're always speaking into someone's life. You always have influence in somebody else's life. So what's that influence? Are you influencing them to draw closer to God, to spend more time in their Bible? Or are you just influencing them to draw closer to their own heart and their own flesh? Here's the last one tonight. Take the time to recognize where your future is and keep looking to that. How do we recognize where our future is? It's pretty simple. Spend time in God's Word. Be faithful in your Bible. Nothing speaks more to our hearts about who we are in Christ. Nothing speaks more to our hearts about our future in heaven than the Word of God. If we're not spending time in God's Word, we're not going to be looking to heaven. We're not going to be looking to our future in heaven. We're going to be looking to now. We're going to be looking to here. Our focus should be on our future in heaven. We're citizens of heaven, and if we're going to live like that, we have to look to that. So let's close for now. Let's just read back through this passage again and then we'll close in prayer. Let us therefore as many as be perfect. Hey, that's you if you're saved tonight. Let us therefore as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Your thinking shapes your walking. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Father, I pray tonight that your word would stir in us. And Father, that your word would impact our hearts. Father, that your word would encourage us to draw closer to you. And Father, it would encourage us to deal with the things in our lives that are impacting our fellowship with you. Father, I pray that we would live as citizens of heaven. That we would, Father, and that we would mind things that glorify you. Father, help us to put away anything that distracts us from you. Help us to put away anything that draws our minds to our own flesh. Father, help us to better glorify you. Father, we love you. You deserve all the glory and all the honor. In your name, amen.